Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
But I love Halloween. It's a very festive day. My oldest son is dressed as Marty McFly from the great Back to the Future movie. My youngest son is dressed as Roman Reigns, the former undisputed champion in the WWE. What are your daughters at today, Sean?
We have an Ariel princess, the Little Mermaid, and we have Belle from Beauty and the Beast. They're in the big princess phase.
They're going through the Disney princess phase. What about you, Teak?
I have a skeleton, Tegan, and a minion. Brooklyn.
A minion.
Nice.
By the way, the skeleton, I don't know if people notice this. If you've been watching on SNY, I'm wearing a skeleton outfit, but I don't think anybody knows I'm a skeleton. So clearly I didn't do a great job with my outfit.
I thought you were a cow.
I did too.
Well, now I put the mask on. Do I look like a skeleton now?
What's that character? It looks like the character from...
Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's exactly right. Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas.
I could see that. I decided not to go creative this year. I basically said to my wife, do we have any costumes lying around? And she said, do you want to be comfortable? I said, yes, comfort is my priority. And so this skeleton outfit is like one giant sweatshirt. Now, the problem is when this show is over at 6:25 and I go trick-or-treating, it's like 80 degrees outside.
Yeah, you're going to be hot.
The wind has picked up, Evan. The wind has picked up. The weather has
it?
Dipping, yes.
Like, I don't know, man. When I was a kid, Halloween, trick-or-treating, it's got to be in the 50s or the 40s. Like, it's October 31st.
No, but you don't want kids wearing jackets.
It can't be 80 degrees, man. Why not?
Because you'd rather them wear their whole costume without having to worry about having, like, a jacket underneath it or over.
Well, but you can go costume above jacket. That's a strategy you can also employ.
Yeah, but isn't it better if the kids don't have to dress like we do for a January game at MetLife Stadium?
No, I get what you're saying. It's like even last night at the World Series. I made the comment to you a few times, Sean. I was like, man, it's too warm for the World Series. It's game five of the World Series. Can't be 67 degrees at first pitch.
Yeah, maybe that's why the Dodgers felt very comfortable coming back. They were not.
Probably. It probably contributed. We'll get to the Jet Texan game. We'll get to your calls more on the Yankees 888-808-1019. But it is a spooky Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. I'm updating my Cinco from a year ago. On this date, it was the top 5 Halloween candies to get as a kid on Halloween. So I have a new list. I've generated. I've talked to people. I have a council, and I've put together a list. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Sour Patch Kids Watermelon. I'm ashamed to now finally admit the sequel is better than the original. The watermelon have overtaken the original Sour Patch.
I can't confirm. I can't co-sign or didn't. I can't. I don't. I've never had them.
Really?
Yeah. Teak, I had them and they're good, but I can't put them on a top 5 list for Halloween. I'm sorry.
Oh, times
you
want to
go
Evan.
12 deep? You want to go 15 deep? I got no problem with that. It's a solid little candy. But we're talking about trick-or-treating. We're talking about a candy being placed in your bag or your box or whatever the hell you're carrying.
That you know when you open it. And you know when you open that candy, it's going to be delicious.
I'm telling you, Sour Patch Kids Watermelon gets a pop like Roman Reigns does when it gets entered. That gets put in a bag. Kids go nuts. All right, here we go.
Number 4.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. They stay on the list. Pound for pound, the best candy to eat after refrigerating. Cannot go wrong still to this day.
By the way, the words out of your mouth are so beautiful because you brought up refrigerating. Very important.
Yes.
I tell that to my kids all the time. When you come home with the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, stick that Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I apologize. I apologize. I caught myself. I'm sorry. We've done a lot of shows lately, a lot of long shows, all right? The words don't make sense anymore. Reese's peanut butter cup in
you're
the fridge.
Talking to your wife, maybe? Oh. Trying to save her from bad tiki?
Hey, is that what they're giving out of Peabody's house, slack candy?
And again, put these peanut butter cups in the fridge or they will be very soft.
But by the way, you're right. You're right. If they're melty, they're not good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here we go. Let's continue this.
Number two.
No, number three.
Number three.
All right. Number three is Starburst. Terrible for your teeth, but an old-timer that's having a good surge this year.
Is it having a surge?
Yeah, they've passed Airheads in the taffy candy preference.
I can get down with that. I've always been a Starburst fan.
Really?
Because they're good for when you're running, because they're easy.
Good for when you're running.
Yeah, because you need sugar.
So right. As you run, you eat Starburst?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because it's sugar. It just makes you feel like you're getting a boost of energy.
Well, it's next time I do 4 miles, I'll get a peanut butter cup sundae. All right, here we go.
Next you do 4 miles, you're going to die.
Number two.
Number two is the Twix. The cookie crunch. Can't beat it. Best chocolate bar on the planet.
Yeah, big Twix guy. I'm with you. And I would do the same thing with Twix that I do with Reese's peanut butter cup, but that's refrigerated.
But it's not as necessary.
It's not as necessary because it doesn't get as melty.
Yes.
But I like that Twix when it's like a little rocky, a little hard, a little cold. I like that.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
Out of nowhere, like the 07 Giants, Rolos have made an unbelievable comeback this year. They are so good. In fact, your giant McDonald's commercial that was the Mets season has brought people back to McFlurries. The Rolo McFlurry has now passed cookies and cream. You can mix it in your ice cream. But that chocolate caramel, just enough small little bites. Rolos, very old school, like a throwback jersey, have taken 2024 by charge.
I barely remember what a Rolo is.
Tiki, I've never even had a Rolo. I'm with you.
I know I've had them, but I
promise you have one.
But how do you put
remember.
That? How does Butterfinger not get
in the top
five? How
do you spell it? R-O-L-O?
Yep, that's it. And it's a very popular McFlurry flavor now.
You leave out Butterfinger. You leave out Nestle's Crunch. I understand
Crunch.
You leave out Kit Kats, and I still remember what you said about Kit Kats last year. Pisses me off. Yeah, Kit Kat's amazing. Every time I have a Kit Kat, because sometimes here at the WFAN studios, they'll have a vending machine, and I'll explore it sometimes. No. And once in a while, they have a Kit Kat. Every time I have a Kit Kat, I think of your face. I really do. It bothers me.
No, getting a Kit Kat on Halloween is like getting Aaron Judge with runners on in the playoffs. It looks great, but in the end, very disappointing.
How? Like, it's a tremendous chocolate, man.
No, it's not. But
anyway,
I get
what you're saying. Twix is better. I know what you're saying about Kit Kats. It sometimes feels cardboardy.
Yes. Yes. It's like eating packet peanuts covered in chocolate.
You're right. I know what you're saying.
Completely disagree with both of you.
Twix blows it away.
Hold on one second before we move on, Evan. Sean, that was a great list, but I found out what the Roberts family is giving out on Halloween. You guys want to hear it? It's a brand new candy.
Don't do it.
Should I do it?
I got to hear it.
It's
what
so it's inappropriate what you're going to do.
But it's the candy you're giving out.
You shouldn't have said I handed it out because that implies like, how about this? Why don't you, let's clean, I'm going to clean this up.
Clean it up.
Why don't you say, no, because I know his mind. I already know what he's doing. Why don't you say this is Evan and his wife's favorite new candy? Make it just about us and don't have us handing it out to people, you sick freak.
After the kids go to bed tonight, Evan and his wife will be eating this candy. The kids won't be eating it. Evan and his wife will be eating it.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. You say, well, isn't that a much better way to word it than go over the Roberts house? And now I sound like a freak. Well, I mean, come on. If you just leave it for me and my wife, you know what they do at night? They're crazy.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Yeah, then it works.
Right? I just can't wait to hear how many times Jerry Recco plays that tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Listen, man, it's very easy to slip between peanut butter and that other word. Like, it's kind of
close
together.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Not if you're only thinking about peanut butter. It's not.
I am only thinking about peanut butter.
Are you sure?
How many butter and cheeses? Peanut butter and cheese. How much peanut butter and jelly do you have you eat? It's easy.
When I was sick about a week ago, my wife says to me, I got to make you food because I wasn't eating. It was really bad. And I said, would you make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And it was the first time I had a PBJ sandwich in like a decade. But it was great. And it's got me so addicted to peanut butter. You know what I had last night when I got back from Yankee Stadium? This is a creative one, and I bet you've never heard this. I really like Clif Bars. You know Clif Bars?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mint chocolate Clif Bars, okay? So I took my mint chocolate Clif Bar that I have at home, and I dipped it in peanut butter. Mm. And I went to town on the peanut butter with the mint chocolate Clif Bar. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I can see that. That's a pretty good dessert, by the way.
You like that one?
I do.
Say, I'm not that crazy.
Here's another tip. Grab the Uncrustables, take them out of the freezer, air fry them 5 minutes. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I'm never going to hear the end of this. Let's get to some calls. There's a lot of people very angry with Sean. They're not happy with his attitude today, and I totally get it. 888-808-1019. Glenn in Smithtown. Glenn, how you feeling today, pal?
Evan, happy Yankee Elimination Day. The only thing better than Yankee Elimination Day is New York Ranger Elimination Day. And the reason I'm calling is because I have to call out Sean Morash because of his tweet, and I quote, "When we're done cleaning up the New York Ranger Parade, will it be in time to celebrate the New York Yankees?" That was his quote.
Yeah.
Sean, confirm it, Sean. You know you wrote it.
I am confirming it. The problem is I was projecting 2025. When we're done cleaning up the New York Ranger Parade, will it be ready for the Yankee one?
Come on.
The tweet still holds. It's about 2025. Man. Glenn, I'm sorry, man.
Sean,
you're saying that's an evergreen tweet forever.
Oh, it was always about 2025.
Stop it.
Yeah, next year it'll be about 2026.
Yes, Glenn, thank you very much for the call. But I'll take this a step further because I did have the privilege of watching last night's Yankees game side by side with Sean Morash. And I think you learn a lot about people who are passionate fans when you watch games with them. You know, Tommy will tell you after we watched game 4 of the division series together, Evan's a wreck. Basically, he confirmed everything you already knew about me. He's a wreck. He can't stop moving. You guys obviously experienced that with me during game 161 when we had the live viewing party. So here is Sean Morash, and I'm going to give you exact quotes because I wrote them down.
What?
I did. I wrote them down in my scorebook. See, this is my beautiful scorebook. You can see it on SNY. I wrote down quotes. When Aaron Judge hit the two-run home run in the first inning, he said, "Holy crap, we're going to do it." Now, I didn't further that. I just let him go. When Jazz Chisholm hit the home run right after Aaron Judge, quote, "We're going to win this bleeping series." I'm like, okay. When Giancarlo Stanton hit that first pitch home run in the third inning to make it 5-0, he got emotional. Tiki, he was weeping. And during his weeping, he wasn't speaking to me. He was walking around in tongues. And he was like, we're going to win this. We're going to win this effing series. We're going to win this series. Oh, my God. We're going to win this series. And I tried to be the voice of reason. I said, hey, Sean, I like your chances for this game, but there's a lot of work to do. We're going to win this series. So he really got like... He got hot and bothered with those three home runs in the first three innings. Sean, you want to confirm that for me?
Yeah, I said it, but we're in the Spanish broadcasting booth. There's nothing sacred here. You were writing notes on me the whole time.
I also took.
You got me.
He was observing. He was being an IBO and observing what he observed. That's what a good scientist does.
Thank you. I also took a secret video of him that I have still not released to the public.
Oh, jeez.
After I sent it to Loogie, and Loogie was a good guy because he kept it private, and he didn't have to. But I did say, hey, this is between us. I forget, what point in the game did I send you the video? Was it the Freeman hit in the fifth inning?
Yeah, it's when they tied it up.
Oh, the Oscar hit. Okay.
No, I think it's when they tied it up, but you sent me the Freeman hit. Does that make sense?
Oh, I got you.
Timing-wise,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I took a secret video of Sean, but I also knew I can't post this. That's not the right thing to do. First of all, he's in an emotional state. He never gave me approval. But I knew as time goes on, like, wounds heal. Like me, my wounds are starting to heal from the Met defeat. Like, if you had a video of me crying after they lost game 6, you know what I would say? I'd say release the tapes.
Were you crying?
I almost did. I got very teary. Oh, you're talking to Sean or me?
No, you, Evan.
I thought he was talking to me.
Are you talking? Oh, when the Mets got eliminated?
Yeah.
I got very emotional. I never actually got to tears, but I was very saddened by what was happening. And that's why I said this at the top of the show. My emotions when the Mets season ended, I think are very different than Yankee fans. I think Yankee fans are angry and pissed. Mm. And I was very sad, like, this ended. And I'm, like, kind of just sad about it, you know?
Yeah, because It's different when you know you gave it your best, but you're just a little bit not good enough because the Dodgers are so good. Whereas the Yankees, you just played like crap, and so that's what pisses you off. When you're good enough and you play like crap and you lose instead of getting beat, that's what frustrates you as a Yankee fan.
And you know what else, Teak? This is going to so piss off Met fans. They're going to be so angry that I say this, but dude, I'm going to tell you how it is. I felt leaving the Met-Dodger series, you know what? Were we even close? We lost in six, sure. Were we even close? Despite the Yankees losing in fewer games, despite them going down 3-0, they were actually close. They were closer to beating the Dodgers than we were. And I know that Met fans, I know Lugie's already to argue that with Sean. That's a Lugesh debate series. I can feel it in my bones. I know Met fans, we took them to six. I could see it now. I'm just getting this out of the way now because it's honestly how I felt. The Yankees could have beaten the Dodgers. The Mets, it felt like it was a longer road to hoe because of the way that series played out. Does that make sense, Teak?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense because that's how it felt. It felt like the Dodgers were just better, and eventually they were going to find a way. Whereas the Yankees, they just kept shooting themselves in the foot over and over and over. And whether it was players or whether it was manager, it was over and over and over again. Whether it was the Met now Yankee killer as well, and Freddie Freeman, don't pitch to the damn dude, right? Like, it felt like the Dodgers they were the best team in baseball. We all knew it. They bought their way into being the best team in baseball. It's why they are now the new evil empire. I don't ever want to hear that stupid Star Wars music in New York again. It is the L.A. Dodgers that are that team now. And they'll continue to do this, by the way. They continue to spend money to bring in whoever the next available great player is because they want a dynasty. And if they get a dynasty, it's going to be economically worth no matter how much money they spend. And so the Dodgers are better. Now, it takes an exceptional team to beat them. I don't know if the Mets had that. I think that they had an exceptional story, but the Yankees had the semblances of an exceptional team. They just didn't play like it because they were so error prone and just decision-making, bad decisions.
They blew games.
They blew games, and managers made bad decisions, and it just, they didn't do the right things at the deadline. Like, all those things the Dodgers didn't do.
It's why all series aren't created equal.
Yeah.
I used to argue in 2000, the Mets could have beaten the Yankees. Like, it was right there for them, but they lost in five. So it's easy to say, shut up, geek, you lost in five. But all five-game series aren't created equal. And game one turned that World Series. Same with 2015. And that's why I said earlier the 2015 World Series I experienced as a Met fan was very similar to this Yankee World Series. You blew game one. It felt like you were playing catch-up since then. You fell in a hole, and then you had Game 5-1. And Game 5 was at least going to be the moment where you put the pressure on the team that you were facing, go back to their city for a Game 6, and you never know. And I think there were a lot of similarities
to play another
between those two series. Prime-time game. This at home against the Houston Texans on Thursday Night Football. I'm going to say something I've said many times over about crappy teams in this town. If they could just win this game and then go on a little bit of a winning streak, they can get their season going. And here's why this game, more than any other, even last week against New England, which I stand by it being one of the most pathetic losses in my fandom as a New York Jet fan. But I'll tell you the mathematical reason why, when I sit down after the trick-or-treating is done and I put that TV on, and I try to have hope as the Jets take on the Texans, why I can talk myself into why this game is important. And it's just math. And we've talked about this, Teak, when it comes to the Giants. When you lose the seventh or eighth game, you lose control. You now have to win every game and hope to get help. Right. As long as you're at six losses, I can tell you this with a straight face, it's all right in front of them. If they win their games and they go 11-6, they're making the postseason. But once you get to that seventh loss, and definitely when you get to that eighth loss, now it's a wing and a prayer. And so that's why I'm not confident, but they got to find a way to win tonight to keep this season at least justifiable.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of teams that have started this poorly and then gone on to make the postseason. It just gets, because you end up having to get on a ridiculous winning streak,
yeah,
or winning, you know, 7 of your last 9 games, so to speak. And so I think that the Jets, while you said this each of the last couple of weeks, this is the most important game. And it's going to be that way. As long as they keep losing, at this point, it doesn't even matter because you only have 2 wins. Every next game is the most important game because it's the only way you keep yourself in the conversation. Now, it got a little bit harder because Alan Lazard has just been placed on IR. It's not seasoning in. It's going to, you know, it's just for the 4-week variety. So he's not going to be back until early December. But it actually benefits the fact that you didn't trade Mike Williams.
Right.
As everybody was speculating after the acquisition of Devontae Adams. Now, Lazard is frustrating in a sense because he's got 6 drops on the season already. But he is having a pretty good year with Aaron Rodgers, and he's become one of his more reliable targets this season. They're going to have to do it without him. This game is so interesting to me because having called the Texans multiple times this year.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know that they're really good, but they're also very flawed. Like their offensive line they can't pick up the simple things, simple games like ET games, TE games with the defensive line. They're not able to pick up, and as a result, C.J. Stroud is constantly under pressure. Now with Hassan Reddick back and hopefully this Jets defense returning to, you know, the levels that everybody expected before the season started, I mean, there's a chance, right? And so the Texans on paper look like they should destroy the New York Jets.
Well, but
the reality is the Texans aren't that good right now.
My Dudley, you think the Jets are going to win? Is that what you're saying? My dog is very vocal right now. Listen, from afar, the Texans haven't been great. Like from afar, like when I've watched them, you've watched them a lot more.
Right.
Like other than the Patriot game, they haven't blown anybody out there. Banged up at wide receiver right now, which should help Sauce Gardner, who's had a down year.
But they're good. They're good. That's the thing. And their record tells you that they're good. So if you're not paying attention to them, if you're not paying attention to them, you're saying they're going to destroy the Jets. But the reality is they haven't been actually playing that well.
That's the hope that I have, that like they haven't been flawless. They have their issues. And other than the Patriot game, every game they've won has been a tight game. So this is a game that I expect, as I sit here right now, the Jets are going to have a chance to win in the fourth quarter. The problem is I have no faith in them. I have no faith that they're stopping Joe Mixon late in the game when they've got to stop the run. I've got no faith that Aaron Rodgers is making the play he has to make. And I also have no faith that this defense is going to force any turnovers, which they haven't done in a month.
No.
Like, they haven't forced a turnover since London. So it's tough to believe that they're going to win this football game. I can talk myself into why it's going to be close. I can talk myself into how this is going to feel like a winnable game at about 10:45 at night. But when push comes to shove, what Aaron Rodgers and this defense and Jeff Ulbrich has let us down about is being able to make the right winning play late to win a game. They weren't even able to do it against the freaking Patriots last week.
Right. And so I think the challenge for this Jets team is it's what we've been talking about all year. It's consistency. Just be good all the time or every at least most of your drives and not have all of these issues that have cropped up, including with the kicker. Now, the other news that, I mean, obviously everybody's heard by now is that Greg Zuerlein was placed on IR as well, and they have a new kicker. And they had a tryout for 6.
Riley Patterson is the winner of the kicking contest.
Right. It was like 6 guys that they brought in. in. I mean, talk about being in desperation mode. When you bring in six kickers, not like one or two that you have a, you know, an idea about because you saw them in spring or in training camp or whatever it may have been. They brought in six kickers, dude.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, we're starting over. Whoever wins this one day tryout is going to be our kicker. Patterson is young. I mean, I have no idea what he's going to be like. He's had some experience in the league, but he's 26 years old or something like that. So
yeah, he's 25 years old. He kicked last year with Cleveland and Detroit, and overall kicked pretty well. He made 90% of his field goals. So he's a young guy. He's been look. All I know is I'm glad Greg Zuerlein is no longer here. It bothers me slightly, and not a lot, slightly, that the Jets didn't just cut him. Like, putting him on IR feels like they were trying to be nice, almost.
Yeah.
Like, it was a, you know what? We're not going to fully embarrass you. We're going to put you on IR and basically blame all your failures for this injury that really has nothing to do with why you failed. But ultimately, they needed to make a change, and I'm glad they did.
Right. That might have something to do with, I don't know what his contract is, what Greg Zuerlein, it might have something to do with his contract. It's just easier from a management of roster to bring in whatever they need right now to not cut him. Because if you cut him, it all becomes dead money.
Yeah. It's tough, man, because football's an event. And every football game, Sean has said this before, I completely agree with him, is like a holiday. It's a holiday at the Roberts household. First, it's Halloween, and then it's Jets-Texans on a Thursday night. But the New York Jets are like bloodsuckers, man. They have sucked the air out of this season in a way that I didn't think was humanly possible. So my excitement for tonight is probably as low as it's been in a long time. Now, the reality is at 8:15, when I sit down and I see my football team on the field at MetLife Stadium, by the way, I couldn't even give my tickets away tonight, and I couldn't go because it's Halloween, I'll be excited and I'll be pumped up because it's football. But it is amazing how they have just sucked the life and the fun out of their fans. And you'll see it tonight because there's going to be a lot of empty seats at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, and listen, tonight with the Jets, and this is going to fast forward and we'll get to tomorrow, Sunday with the Giants, baseball is now no longer a distraction after last night. And you're not getting, if you are a Yankee or a Met fan, necessarily a happy fan base sinking their teeth into football now. So while we've all watched football, let's be honest, a slight tick of the passion of the bad football we've seen has been taken away because we've been distracted by baseball. Oh, boy. You know, that stadium tonight on a Halloween night, if the Jets are making the same mistakes they made against New England a week ago, you're going to get an extra cranky fan base tonight who's no longer distracted by baseball.
You're right, and we will make our pick for tonight's game coming up in the next couple of minutes, our Week 9 picks, and it is obviously a local one. The Jets somehow are favored. I just checked FanDuel to see if that got updated. Obviously, the Texans are banged up at wide receiver. The Jets are banged up, too. I mean, they've got their own injuries to deal with. Tiki just mentioned it. Alan Lazard is going on the IL. But they are 2.5-point favorites right now going into Thursday night football. So we'll make our picks in a few minutes. But I'll tell you this, that don't make a lot of sense.
No.
Let's go to Tim, who's calling from Copaic. How are you today, Tim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I actually have to defend Evan on the peanut butter cup mishap.
Stick that Reese's peanut butter cup.
A lot of people do actually say that. I've called before and I mentioned that I've worked at both Friendly's and Carvel.
Wow.
And the number of people who've actually said that, all ages, the number of people who said that, it happened like multiple times a week. I worked there for over a decade. So
thank you, Tim. Tim, I appreciate you taking time out of your day on a Halloween. Thank you for the call. And thank you for your service working at Friendly's. Friendly's is one of my all-time favorite places. And for you to be there and to give us that service is unbelievable. But thank you. When you say peanut butter, it's easy to mistakenly take the nut and make it the is, if you know what I mean.
Peanut butter cup.
You know what, Evan? I noticed ever since you said that, your dog came in the room. Maybe Dudley heard you and, you know.
By the way, the reason I brought Dudley into the room is because he gets freaked out by trick-or-treaters. And the trick-or-treating has begun, if you know what I mean. And it's funny, I live in a cul-de-sac, so we end up not getting as many trick-or-treat visitors. What's so funny? Did I say something funny?
Wait, where are you? Cul-de-sac?
I live in a cul-de-sac. You know what a cul-de-sac is?
And you're handing out what kind of candy? Or you're
Tiki, why do we work with such immature buffoons?
No, you're putting a consonant on the end of the word. It's cul-de-sac.
Yeah. Isn't that what I said?
No, no. You said Colts like Anthony Richardson a sack.
Or I thought he said Colt like Tommy's, positive Tommy Colt.
Oh, good point. I just don't want to know why you told a waiter at Friendly's thank you for your service. That's my...
Because I don't know if you know, back in the day, I used to go to that place all the time, and they provided some great service. The Munchie Mania, the Ice Cream Man.
Hey,
it was unbelievable.
And say this about Friendly's. That's as good a quesadilla as you could find in the entire country of Mexico. Let me tell you right now.
You know what? That's a controversial statement. That is not something I'll say out loud in my Mexican household. But between us, let's
you
just speak up.
There's quesadillas. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
Thank you.
Let's go to... I'm not going to that call. That guy sounds like a jerk. Let's go to Jeff from Cold Spring Harbor. How you doing today, Jeff? Hello, Jeff.
Fun show.
Thanks.
I'm a Dodger fan going back to 1950, the Yank Philly series.
Yeah, the Whiz Kids, baby.
Yep, and of course I do remember Jackie, Duke, Billy Lowe's, Pee Wee, Junior Gilliam, Carl Gill, Carl Erskine, Nuke, and these
boys
were
boys of summer, baby. The boys of freaking summer, y'all.
And guess what? They all came through the Dodger farm system.
Yeah.
So, if I were a Pirates or a Reds fan, which I'm not, it does. And no, please, no disrespect. I know this is all in fun. It does seem a little bit gross hearing you guys begging your owner to spend almost $1 billion to get one player.
Why?
So
why is that what gross?
If I were to tell you right now that the Yankees getting Soto would not bring them a championship in the next 5 years.
Well, what I would say to you, kind sir, and thank you for your service as a longtime Dodger fan. Thank you very much for the call.
Your championship this year?
Yeah, you're damn right. I would say that nothing guarantees you a championship, and I'd be the first to tell you that. But I believe that Juan Soto being on your baseball team influences your chances and gives you a better chance at winning a championship. Because one of the popular things people will say, we already heard a caller mention it earlier, is I'd rather invest that money, and they'll name three other players that are not as good as Juan Soto. Three other players that maybe more towards the end of their career than a guy who's 26 in his prime. Like, I don't believe that actually gives you a better chance at winning a championship over the long term. So if you think it sounds like I'm groveling to a great player and saying pay him whatever he wants, well, you're right. But I also think that's the right thing to do when you have a chance to have a great player on your team. And I think he's a great player, and I'd want him on my team, whether I'm a Yankee fan or I'm a Met fan.
Yeah, also, you're better with him than without him. So, like, and again, we had this money conversation earlier. You can go rewind on the Odyssey app if you want to go catch it. It's about 2 hours ago. But the decision to pay Juan Soto is going to be, obviously, how much do you want? But it's also going to be what's the economic benefit for the Yankees? And there will be an economic benefit for the Yankees. And so there is more to it than just we're going to spend more than someone else because he's Juan Soto. It's Juan Soto is going to help us win. He's going to help our bottom line in ways that aren't defined by wins and losses. And if he does help us win a championship, forget it. It's exponential.
To your point, and I relate this to the Mets, I wonder about the economic impact it would have on the Mets, because it would also change the perception of the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
If they ever stole a great player away from the New York Yankees, besides, you know, Tommy getting to make fun of Sean or me being a jerk about it, like, I think that does have an impact on this city. And I think it has an impact on the casual fan who goes both ways in terms of which tickets they're going to buy. You know, the Mets did not draw well this year. Now, I think they'll draw better next year, but I don't think they'll draw as well as the Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be 40,000 people there every day.
But if Juan Soto was on the Mets, how much better would the Mets draw?
I think considerably.
And that's a calculation that you have to think about. Like, look, it's an inexact science. Someone will project whatever it is, but it will be part of the calculation, and it has to be part of the calculation.
No question.
I think the Yankees could tell you that this year. I mean, it felt like every game was sold out. Now, it probably wasn't the case, but it did feel like every game was damn near sold out. Not just because of Aaron Judge. It's just because of Juan Soto.
You are right. Time to make our football pick. It's brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy by ELEC 825, Building Our Future, and by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. Currently, as we enter week 9, I'm in first place at 25-18. Lugie is 24-19. Tiki is 15-28. And Sean is 14-29. So those are our standings
coming
as we enter.
Coming for you.
Yeah, you're coming.
You already passed me, and then I came back on you.
Exactly. You went ahead of him, and then he came back again. And me and Lugie are also back and forth atop our standings. Week 9, the New York Jets laying 2.5 at home against the Houston Texans. Tiki Barber, take it away.
I'm going with the Jets. I always do. So why break my streak?
Because you want to win, Tiki, because you want to win.
I shouldn't be good at this game, so I don't try to win.
All right, I'll go number 2. I want to pick the Jets. I want to. I want to tell you that sports is funny when you think you have it figured out, you get slapped in the face. But this freaking franchise, this head coach and this quarterback and this overrated defense has given me no reason to believe. Now, the spread makes no sense. The Jets being favored seems like one of the dumbest things ever that makes you wonder, what does Vegas know? I don't think Vegas knows anything. I think that a bunch of New Yorkers are dumb. And we still think the Jets are going to turn their season around. So I'm sorry. I hate to be a bad guy. I hate to be negative, but I'm calling it like it is. The New York Jets are going to lose this game outright. It's going to be a tight game. We're going to think we have a chance. It's actually going to be 17-13 mid-fourth quarter. The offense will be clunky. The defense will play well. And then C.J. Stroud will leave a drive where they can't stop Joe Mixon and the Bengals. Oh, I'm thinking of Joe Mixon's former team. The Texans will march down the field and win it late on a late touchdown, just like last week against New England. 20-17 final score. Give me the Texans getting the 2.5 at MetLife against the New York Jets. Sean Morash.
I wanted all week to pick the Houston Texans in the spot. The sharps are on the Jets, this, that, and the other. And I thought about Joe Mixon in this spot with the Houston Texans. And I thought about Halloween and the last time the Jets played on Halloween when everybody counted them out, thought they were dead. And you know what they did? They upset Joe Mixon and the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think these Jets, if only for a night, it's ugly, it's clunky, but tomorrow on Evan and Tiki at 2 p.m., we have Joe Beningo on at 4 p.m., we play the, hey, you never know game. Give me the Jets covering late tonight versus Houston.
And now we present to you Positive Time.
Thank you, Evan. As I promised you and your fellow Jet brethren, I would go back to the Positivity Lab and I would come up with a reason why the Jets are going to turn their season around. And I have to tell you this, Evan, you and I were almost going to have an uncomfortable conversation on the radio today. I was in the lab last night and I came up with something, but thankfully something happened at Yankee Stadium last night that saved you from this uncomfortable conversation. So, here's what I came up with in my positivity lab. Aaron Rodgers. We didn't get to talk about it this week because we had so much Yankee talk. Aaron Rodgers has found the fountain of youth. He is taking water and putting cayenne pepper in it. I believe in the power of positivity. I believe in the power of the pepper. Now, Sean, are you there?
I'm here, Tommy.
I know you've had a rough week, buddy, but I'm going to need you on this one. You ready?
All
you know
right.
How to spell. Ready?
Right.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Jets.
Jets. This is a smash spot for the Jets. The Texans stink on the road. They're banged up. And it would be, and Evan knows this deep down in his soul, this would be very Jet-like to win this game and to go on a run here. But they're going to go on a bigger run than you think, all the way to the playoffs. It starts tonight. MetLife Stadium. Halloween. Everybody's going to be dressed up. The costumes are going to be phenomenal. Give me the Jets. They win outright. They lay the number. They cover it. 2.5, the whole deal. Mm. The power of the pepper.
That one actually sounded convincing, Tommy. Well, that one convinced me.
You know what? Stella got her groove back last night. Positive Tommy got his groove back.
I think he's been practicing, Tiggy. I think that's
maybe.
What it is.
I don't care if it's scripted or not, right? Coaches script their speeches all the damn time.
It's true.
So, kudos, Tommy. Very well done.
Thank you.
He's got me believing. By the way, if you're watching on TV, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up next on SNY.
Breaking news here. Fat Joe is now also eating cayenne pepper. So out goes the positivity.
I do have an
off-ramp. That won't lead us. No one will lead us. Shut up, negative Tommy.
I do have an offer for positive Tommy that I hope he accepts.
It better not be the candy that you referenced about an hour ago. I don't want that. I want nothing to do with that, all right? I love you. I don't love you that much.
It's not my candy. It's nothing like that, but it is a gift. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I believe that what would really help the positivity tonight at MetLife Stadium is if you were in the building. So what have I told you? That I am going to send you my season tickets so that you can represent the Robert seats with positivity tonight at MetLife Stadium. What say you?
You got it. Send them over. Are they two seats?
Two tickets.
Bring a friend? All right.
You can bring a friend.
There you go.
Oh, I feel good now. Now I have confidence.
Right. Wow. Tommy's committed. This is committed, Tommy. This is not just speaking out of his ass, Tommy. This is committed, Tommy. I like this.
Now I need you to pay for my transport too, Evan. So
transport?
I don't know. I got to get to MetLife Stadium. I just need you to just pay for the transportation. It's for the Jets. It's for the Jets.
They've got a train. Just take the freaking train, bro.
I know, but you got to cover me. You want me to save the season? You got to. That's all.
Bro, I'm giving you my tickets, which cost like face values like, I don't know, $1.90 a ticket.
And I'm going to need two beers and a sandwich.
Are you getting your way? Are you conning your way out of this now?
No, I'm just, no. I'm going to the game. I'm sitting there on Halloween night to save the season.
You know what?
How about Halloween this? Night?
Bill me later. Bill me later.
You got
I'm going to give you the tickets. You come to me and Tiki with the bill. Okay. I'm not saying, Tiki, you have to pay for it. I'm saying I want you to look over the bill. I want you to make sure that all this is legit and I should pay for it.
I'll give it to him. It's all good.
Are you going to pay for it?
You just got to make sure you go, Tommy.
Yeah, what does Evan think? I'm going to the strip club afterwards? Rutherford.
I took my phone out right now. I'm removing my listing because nobody wanted to buy them, and I'm going to hand them to you right now.
Nobody wanted to buy them?
Lukey, you might be going to the strip sack club, am I right?
I'm sorry you're here.
What is it? What's it over there? Bada bing?
What is it? Bada bing.
Yeah.
Remember what Tommy has always said about going to games. He lives by this. He says, I won't go to games unless they're free tickets. That is something he lives by. Well, guess what? He's got free tickets. And so for that reason, he's going to go to MetLife Stadium and he's going to hand us a victory. And I'll tell you right now, if you get a victory for us tonight, this may not be your only time at MetLife Stadium.
Well, I'll promise you tonight, we'll go from there. I don't know how many times I'm going to trek out to Jersey, but for tonight, 100%.
How many people do you honestly think are going to be at MetLife Stadium tonight? I know there are people in the car right now. Maybe they're tailgating. Maybe they're sitting in traffic on Halloween. But when you combine, the Halloween, I think, is an aspect if you want to take your kids trick-or-treating. But I think the other aspect is people are indeed front-runners. They're 2-6.
Right.
How many empty seats does this place have tonight?
I'm going to say there are 48,000 people that are there.
Yes, so, that's a lot of empty seats.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's preseason game stuff.
Well, think about it, because it's Thursday night for a 2-6 team on Halloween, and it's a non-rival. It's an AFC opponent, obviously, but do you have any real emotion towards the Houston Texans?
No. No, I don't think the Texans they're a nameless, faceless opponent. I don't mean there's any disrespect to D'Amico or CJ Stroud. They don't have it. There's
that's
nothing
what I
there.
Mean. Relative to the Jets. That's all. That's not relative to, say, I don't know, wherever else. But relative to the Jets, it doesn't make any sense. Now, they may go because it's CJ Stroud and he was a rookie of the year and maybe you want to see. But I don't think the Texan fan is traveling on Thanksgiving.
Now, Evan, let me ask you something. It's going to hit close to home. Who do you think has a better fan base, the New York Jets or the Miami Dolphins?
The New York Jets.
Okay. A little personal story for you. I have attended Thursday night football on Halloween night about 11 years ago. The Miami Dolphins, who stunk, hosting the Cincinnati Bengals, not a rival. Every seat was filled. The place was filled with people who don't normally go, who got to drink their face off.
But that's
and
Miami.
The game ended in overtime on a walk-off sack. Jets can't have empty seats tonight.
First of all, here's
that was
why
Miami.
You're. It's Tiki's right. It's a different city. It's a different marketplace.
It's Miami Gardens.
No, but hold on. This franchise. I don't think you guys understand this. This franchise is right now in the middle of its most disappointing season ever. Mm-hmm. That's like the Giants aren't having a good year. No one is going to suggest that this Giants season is their most disappointing season ever. It may not even be top 5 or top 10. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bad year. You're not happy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to defend it. The Jets had the hype of a Super Bowl, the quarterback, the Hall of Famer, everything. To be 2-6 with this roster, with the prices, with the price hikes, with the expectations, I think is beyond any other comparison one can come up with. I don't think there's a comparable, and I think you need to understand
in
that.
New York, I'm trying to think if you're right.
Hold on, time out. I'm pissed off now. I am angry at Positive Tommy. Yeah. I texted him the tickets, and his response was, "This was legit."
Hold on, LOL. Hold on a second, Joe Beningo.
Yes, that was
no,
legit.
My text lead us. Why are you reading my text off air or on the air? I would have just said it on the air. You're Beningo here. You're reading the text on the air.
Because
you
think what I just said on the radio about offering you my jet tickets and how I sent it to you, I'm a man of my word. You thought this was some kind of radio bit?
You know what? I appreciate you reading my texts on the radio.
Are you going to the game or not, pal?
I might send one of my positivity posse members in my place.
Oh, no.
I won't lead us. Bro, you know how, Sean, you know this firsthand. It's a pain in the ass to get home from MetLife.
You're already basically there. You're in the
get
west
the hell
side
out of here. I'm almost basically to Indiana, too. I'm not going to go see a Hoosier game.
What? Dude, that's a disgrace.
What's a disgrace?
I gave you my personal tickets. I texted them to you, and your response is this legit? I legitimately gave you my tickets. If you don't want them, I'll give them to somebody else.
Wow,
I don't think I can run a contest officially on WFAN.
You definitely can't, so don't.
Okay, so maybe I'll just do it on my social media, but I don't want the tickets to be empty. I want someone to enjoy themselves, and I thought that the positive profit would enjoy himself. What are you doing tonight?
Once the game is over, getting out of that swamp and getting to Kew Gardens takes a long time, and it's a pain in the ass.
I want to get back to the question. What are you doing tonight? The show is over. Your Lou Gower's over. What are you doing? I want to know.
I'm going home to watch the Jet game.
There was only one appropriate answer. Tiki, you've given this answer.
Besides the jet game a couple of days ago, and I said,
can't argue with that.
Yeah, I'm going home to get some.
Yeah.
Bang!
Connor, that would have been a good time for a certain candy drop.
Yes.
That's the only... If your answer
Reese's
is,
penis
you know what?
Cup.
Guys, I'm going home, and I'm going to... Whatever. I'm going to make whoopee. I would say, you know what? All right, fine. But your answer is you're going to go home and watch the game that I just gave you tickets to? Come on,
on a beautiful night, too? It's gorgeous.
I agree with all of that. I can't stress enough getting there and getting home. That's all.
Oh, my God.
If you really
got home at 2 a.m. the last two nights here. I mean, what are we talking about?
At a Yankee game. I was at the Yankee game last. I got home at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're bitching, you're bitching as a guy with no kids that, I can't get home late. I don't want to go to the Jet game. What kind of sports talk host are you?
Loogie.
You are the future, but you got to go to the games once in a while.
Go to the game. Now, I don't have anybody to go with, but I'll go to the game.
Connor. Hey, Connor. Connor's done a great job today, by the way. I love Connor. What are you doing tonight, pal?
Well, you know, I drove into the city, so going to the game is a big problem because then I got to come all the way back into the city
traffic.
And then get the car. Yeah. And plus, my family has season tickets, and we sold them because we gave up on the Jets. So it's kind of, we have a very contentious relationship with the team right now.
Right. If Connor wanted to go, he would be going.
Wow, that's a good point. Wow.
Which means he doesn't want to go. Basically, what he just said is, I don't want your ticket.
Yeah, I've become an independent football observer at this point.
Tommy, what you should do, my section is a family, okay? And a lot of them listen to the show. You will be a celebrity. So just show up, say, hi, everybody, I'm Positive Tommy. You'll get free beers all night. You can talk about the Knicks and all the dogs that they have, and you will have a great time. I don't think you need to go with anybody tonight. Go solo.
Sean Marash is going to make me his board op for his entire life.
Shut up!
Evan, you just said your section's a family. It's your first year of season tickets, and you've gone once. What are you talking about?
But
they love him.
Yeah, we love each other. And don't get on me. I've had a very busy schedule. My reason for not going wasn't it's tough to leave. Like, I didn't go to the Buffalo game because of all the baseball that was going on. We were doing the show live from New Jersey at that point at American Dream. And then tonight was really, there was no way my wife was letting me. But Sunday against the Colts, I'll be there. I don't give a crap what their record is.
Why is that? Because you've been at Yankee Stadium hosting 5.5-hour shows and staying for games for the last half a week?
That could be. Well, honestly, that's a part of it. But the real thing that's a part of it is when this show is over, I'm going trick-or-treating. And my wife, I'm doing nothing else. Let me tell you that.
I can't help but think that this whole con, this whole entire thing is as a plot by Evan to set up Positive Tommy. This whole thing.
Set you up for what?
For
success?
No.
That's all he set you up for.
Evan, who'd you pick in the game?
I think the Texans are going
to
win.
So then you're sending Positive Tommy to the game for them to lose. I'm going to get home at 3 a.m., and then you're going to blame me. And all I'm going to have is
a running blame nose. You. I'm not going to blame you. I think you are above criticism when it comes to the Jets. I'm going to blame the quarterback. I'm going to blame the owner. I'm going to blame the head coach. I'm going to blame everybody but you. I was just being nice. That's all I was doing. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to give my tickets to somebody else. I haven't figured out who. I'll probably do it on social media, but it's gone. All right? You missed your opportunity. Very disappointing. Anyhow, we'll come right back. We'll take a few more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki on this beautiful Halloween night.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.